Hey, I'm here with Trang Nguyen from Soft Brains at XB26. It's Trang, nice to meet you. Can you just start by telling me a little about yourself, how you started, how you came into the game industry? I have looked you up, so I know you had a very interesting background before you came into gaming, but I'd like to hear from you and why you did that pivot to gaming.
So my name is Trang. I've been in games for about close to a decade now. My style of game is probably very different from a lot of people. I actually started my career in more in the immigration space. So I was a licensed immigration consultant for a long time. So I worked for a lot of companies that helped to bring foreign skilled worker into Canada. And actually, my start was in the construction space. Yeah, so there was a lot of construction company in Canada that needed to hire folks from overseas to come here to work. But I've always loved games, but I didn't know how to work in games. So, I didn't see a direct path to work in games or like adjacent to games. But it so happened that at the time, I heard that Ubisoft Toronto was, expanding their presence in Toronto, but I looked at their job page and I didn't see anything even closely remoted to what I was good at. But I thought I'd just shoot my shot, so I submitted an application to their general application form. So there's no job, I just like
here's the pool.
It's a pool.
Yeah.
And I just submitted the application, and I just shared a little bit about what I do. And strangely enough, a couple of weeks later, somebody called me.
Wow.
And it so happened that they also have a global mobility team, because at the time, Toronto was still growing as a industry in games. So UB really needed to bring in a lot more skilled, highly skilled, highly experienced game dev from overseas. So that's how I got started. I got hired to work in their global mobility team, and then eventually moved more into a more operation and corporate affairs role, where I really honed in my skill around partnerships, but also understanding what it means to kind of wear a lot of hats. So 3 years later, I got, no, not 3 years later, 3 years ago, I got a few founders of Soft Brains reach out to me and said, hey, we're starting a new indie studio. Are you interested in joining us? So, indie game has always been at the heart of what I really, really love to be connected to. So I said yes, and then here I am 3 years later. I'm the head of operations for Soft Brains. And so I do everything when it comes to day-to-day studio management, oversee our finances, our team resourcing. I also look after our production, and then supporting our managing director with business development opportunities as well.
Great. And you mentioned gaming's been a passion. What kind of gaming were you into? Or are you still into?
Yeah.
What gets you excited when you have a few moments of downtime?
There was a moment 2 years ago when I was at DICE.
Okay.
And I met Derek Yu, okay, who was a creator of Spelunky.
Okay.
So Spelunky was one of my favorite indie solo dev game, and it's a roguelike platformer. So I love story. I love games that has interesting mechanics. Great storytelling, so indie games especially, supporting really unique indie approaches to how they create arts and storytelling. That's still my core to this game.
Yeah. Do you find you still have a lot of time to play games, or are you burned out a little bit because you're around games all the time?
I would love to play more games. Okay. That's for sure. But we play a lot of our own games as well. We're such a small team at Softbrain, so we play tests every week.
Okay.
Like the entire team, so I dedicate a lot of my brain space to that.
Right, putting it in there.
Yeah.
So let's pivot to that, Ambrosia Sky. So it's out, I looked it up. I haven't played it, it's a lot of full confession, but it's a lot of positive feedback on Steam, which must make you guys feel really good.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the game and maybe where it's going. I know Act 1 is out.
Mm-hmm.
What's the future look like for the game at this time?
Ambrosia Sky is a... immersive narrative experience game where you play a Dahlia who is a deep space cleanup specialist. So usually they are, as part of her job, she's dispatched to effectively scenes of catastrophe that happened in deep space. So one day Dahlia got a call to investigate a place called the Cluster that sits around the Ring of the Ring of Saturn. That sits, and it so happens that that is where Dahlia is born. So the story is a coming home story, but it's a very somber coming home story around what it means to come home to a place that you have left behind for many personal reasons, but to find it being completely taken over by a scene of catastrophe. And Dahlia is also, as part of her, a part of the story, she will have to find the victim of the crisis, lay them to rest.
Okay.
And furthermore, kind of like explore what happened to the space, but also to the people that she's left behind.
Okay. And so, Act 1, how many acts is planned in the game?
There are two acts.
There's two acts, is the plan, so you're halfway there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. More than halfway there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as a, from a release it's perspective,
true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it, so you didn't quite do an early access, you just released Act 1.
Yeah.
And do people have to buy Act 2, or does that come with the game they've already played?
So, Act 2 is coming out this year.
Okay, great.
And if you have bought the Act 1, then Act 2 is a pre-update.
Okay,
yeah. We are planning to raise the price when we launch the game.
Like 1.0, essentially. Yeah.
Exactly. So we do invite people to purchase it now
early.
Because it will be a good discount.
Okay,
you. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's our way to really thank the community that showed up for us really early on. Like, they don't know who we are, they don't know about the game, and they showed up, so we want to make sure that we should have a really satisfying conclusion to the story, but also like a way to to appreciate the community that invested in us early.
Tell me about the feedback you've had on the game. It was positive on Steam, but have you gotten some direct feedback from fans that you're incorporating into Act 2? Or did the plans just go as normal because, you know, what they liked worked and what they didn't like, you were doing more of anyway? Like, how have you responded to feedback in Act 1?
Actually, that's the beauty of the Sonic games, was that Act 2 was very much closely directed to the feedback that we received from our players. There are still, like, you know, the core experience is still there. You're still navigating through the space and you're still going to have this, like, very satisfying cleaning moment and solving really fun puzzles. But, you know, one of the big wins that we got from the game and the feedback that we got was that people really love the story. People really love the way that the decorative tools in the game is drawn and is realized. So we really, like, lean into that as a narrative kind of anchor for us. So that's part of the reason why for Act 2 we wanted to give, like, a very satisfying ending to the game. But yeah, like, that was the feedback. It sounds like people just want to know what happened.
They want to know more.
Yeah, connected to Dahlia and even the character, you know, there are certain characters that you only see them for for like a few seconds in the game. But we feel like, who are they and what is their story? So we really think that this world has been like fully formed by the story of the people in that space. So we can kind of lean more into that. Right? Yeah.
So let's talk about the team and the company a little bit. So kind of the hallmarks from what I looked into was you have a big focus on a lot of worker first philosophy within the company, like no crunch, like work-life balance, but also very heavy on diversity and inclusion, but not just for diversity's sake, but actually bring a lot of different viewpoints into your company so that those different viewpoints can be kind of spread out through it. So tell me a little bit about where that philosophy came from. And how you sustain it as the team grows. I know you're probably not growing in leaps and bounds, but I'm sure you are having a bit of growth. How do you deal with that as expectations get higher and the next project is looming? So how are you going to keep that world vision going? I guess is what I'm asking. So
we started when the studio was started. You know, I think I feel very lucky to work with a group of people who always have that top of mind, have the idea of like not just diverse individual, but diverse voices and perspective. And I think you can see that even within our game. It shows up in our game as well. Like, you know, we're very proud of the story that we're telling. It's a different story, but it's a very meaningful story. So, but all of this meaningful story can only be told because there are folks in our team that feel confident in telling those stories because they speak from their own personal perspective.
Right.
So we have a very strong team right now. All of us are very aligned on that philosophy around creative excellence, but also like diverse voices and, you know, value-driven storytelling. So I don't necessarily feel like it has to be always a conscious effort because it's already lived within us.
Right, it's in your DNA.
It's in our DNA. So yeah. As we grow, you know, I think, of course, we have to be mindful of how we're going to continue to bring more of those amplify the voices that we want to hear from. We're also very lucky. Toronto, where we are, or Canada, where we are, is like a very, very unique space. A lot of diverse individuals, very talented individuals. So I never saw that it was a challenge for us to have to build, like to get out, find a way out of it. It's just like, oh, it's natural. We can do this. We got nominated for Vlad, for our Ambrosius guy, because the story we were telling, it's a beautiful, queer-driven story. And then we also got nominated for Wings because we do have a lot of leadership from underrepresented backgrounds. So when you have folks who are in that role, they will help to like make sure that you hold us accountable to that team in the way that's the thing.
I have another question, but when you talk about the story being, you know, going home and things are different, I think we all have had that, some to much different extremes than others. Some people, their home is in war, and, you know, some people, their home may not exist anymore. You know, some people, their home was just, you know, the bad side of town. Like, you know, it could just be that. So you're right. It's kind of a concept that touches everybody in a way. And it's when you have people who've had those extremes of versions of going home and it's different, you can tell a beautiful story, I think. So
super relatable.
Like
you said, everybody is, whether or not it's going away to college and going back home or actually intentionally leave home for any different reason, we all carry a lot of like baggage of what it means to leave and come back.
To leave and come back, exactly. I noticed that your company is fully remote, correct? How have you found that? Has there been some struggles that you've had to overcome? Has there been times where you're like, man, I really wish we could all be in one room just to brainstorm for a weekend, you know, So how do you adapt to that? And has there been any thoughts of hybrid or anything like that? I know the fully remote is very attractive, but I know it comes with some challenges. So I'm curious how you've overcome those challenges.
Yeah, I think being fully remote is definitely like attractive and flexible, but also like for an Indian like us, it's also very cost effective.
You don't have to buy an office.
Exactly.
Maybe help people with their computers and their internet. That's about it. Yeah.
You know, like, so it does give us a lot more like flexibility. We do have a lot of in-person touch point.
Okay, good.
Luckily, a lot of our team is based in Toronto, so we try to hang out with each other as much as we can. But, you know, we have annual in-person summit where we bring the team together, especially during like the ideation stage. We want to get that initial kind of spark all like lined up. But for example, today at XP, and all of our team is here.
Nice.
So we just like, why don't we just make it a team event for us? So,
nice dinner, have some hangouts, you know.
Going to the games of work, make the games of work together. So
yes.
Like, you know, so it's absolutely crucial that we have to have in person way that we can, you know that our coworkers are real and are humans, and we wanted to like talk with them, we want to hang out with them. All these things are good, like, way to build personal connection. And it was difficult, I would say, to start a studio remotely. I wouldn't say that it's like, oh, everything is easy, right? Collaboration was tough. There were times when we were working with like many different time zones. So we have to teach each other like patience. We have to teach each other like how do we like DM each other without, like, you know, in a way that is clearly communicated, that doesn't leave somebody because you're sleeping and somebody's like, you know,
and guess, oh, I really want to get this, where's that artwork?
Sure, what to say, what to do. Yeah. So, I think it's a lot of patience that we have to teach each other, which is great.
It's great because we all need that.
Exactly. luckily, like, the team on this, like, we have a very like mature professional team, so when we have the ability to just like jump on a call to hash things out to do that, when we do need to meet in person and it is like if it's business imperative, we'll make it happen.
And from a technical perspective, how are you dealing with assets and shared files, because we're probably talking very large? Are you using cloud services? Do you have your own small server firm built somewhere? Like, how have you adapted to that when you don't have your own kind of permanent location, your everything's out? Is it all just cloud driven now?
But we also, I mean, for a lot of indies, we're also very scrappy. So, right. Like, when we are small, we like the local host as much as we can.
Okay.
When we go to a place where we are, we've got a team that requires a lot of, you know, space and, you know, asset storage. Yeah. Over to cloud. There's so much technology these days to support it.
Yeah.
That, like, it has never been a technology barrier to work with.
Good.
It's more about trust, communication, and patience.
Gotcha. So I know a decade ago it would have been a lot tougher to, you know, figure out how to get all these, you know, in progress assets back and forth with everyone. But you're right. Now you could just lease some space and chuck everything on there and, you know, use the processing power. What does the next 5 years look like for SoftBrains? I'm sure you're thinking about it. I'm sure the org's thinking about it. But what would be kind of your utopia that you'd like to see? Like, how many people in the company? You know, what kind of projects you're working on? What would be your kind of like what you've circled on the whiteboard that you'd like to see?
I would love to be a multi-game studio.
Perfect.
I do
two pipelines at the same time.
Yeah. It helps to sustain our, like, I would love us to grow and hire more folks to work with us. And in that way, having a two game studio with different production timing allows us to make sure that a team member can ramp up and down between projects sustainably. But also, I think it helps the creative refresh of the team. So multi-project studio, for sure. I would love for us to you know, hone in the knowledge that like we have learned as self-publishing to support other studio with self-publishing, be it like, you know, really just like sharing as much as we can with the folks here, or find ways that we can actually being able to be an indie publisher, because why not? You know, we're in a world where you find a lot of really successful indies now, indie developers who are dabbling into indie publishing, supporting other indies. And I would love to be part of that, because I do think that there are a lot of economic challenges right now when it comes to funding. So devs are finding a way to support each other, and I would love to be able to like be a part of that story and maintaining the sustainability of the industry.
Okay, that's very cool. And just one last question, like, you've got the one game out. When the team thinks about it right now, like, what is the thing they're most proud of in that release? And what's the thing that they're like, I wish we would have done that a little better? Because that'll be what you fix in the next game, right? No, I love hearing, you know, the high and low kind of.
If I think about what the team would wanted to have done better, I think, you know, at the beginning of development, we had a very different scope to the game, different, you know, and we made a conscious decision to really, you know, make sure that we can ship this game at the time and the budget that is allowed. So there's a lot of things that we wish we could be able to bring back. We wish we could be able to add into this game. And there's also like a lot of things that we built in the background that never made it to the game. So I hope that we can utilize some of that knowledge, some of that R&D into our next game, because we don't want to always just like, it's never wasted work. It's like lesson learned, but also like there's a lot of really good stuff that we want to be able to like use it, because just because it doesn't make it into this game.
Right.
I think for us, it's like, and there are many things that we don't want to leave behind, and that would be the things that we want to make sure that we can, whatever the next game that we're going to make, we can utilize as much as possible the things that we have built. And in the things that I think the team is most proud of is, I think, if you ask anybody in our team, they can point to you their exact contribution to that game. You know, like, there's no, you know, when you work in like much larger development teams, sometimes the work is lost in the larger picture, the final product. But everybody can see their own fingerprint on this game. Everybody can see the exact kind of like impact that they have made throughout the game. So I think the team can be very proud of it, and can really showcase that, like, this is what I've done, and you can actually experience it directly.
Like, you know, that game loop was me.
Exactly.
For that transition, I did that. Yeah. The audio was me.
You know, we had, you know, 2D artists that were concept artists. Usually, concept artists don't make it into the game. They're artists in the game. We have game designers who love to write, and their writing is in the game. So it's not also just a specialty, but it's like, what else do you like to do? Like, how can you incorporate that?
Because that's important to your previous thing where you said you're a single game pipeline right now. So when your concept artists are done, usually they're twiddling their thumbs until the next, you know, game is coming along. But if you can put them to work doing, like you said, some shooting backgrounds or whatever, then that's helpful. And have you guys thought about your next? I mean, you have. Is there anything you can say about it? Is it going to be a similar style? Or are you going in a full right turn, radically different direction?
We have a few things in our pipeline right now. I can't talk about it yet.
Nope. I know.
But I have to say that what I can say is that you can always look for us to like surprise you.
Nice.
And to you know, to tell really beautiful story and make very beautiful drawings. That's the only thing I can say.
I can appreciate that. Well, thank you so much, Trang. I appreciate your time. Lovely to see Soft Range all over the place here, and I hope you have a really great next week.
Very proud of us. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Yeah. Awesome. No, awesome.